Amen. Wednesday night, we'll have a well-known speaker in the service. Brother Jeremy Hart will be preaching. I know those of you that know Brother Jeremy and love Brother Jeremy Hart, you'll want to be here to hear him and welcome him and fellowship. So we're thankful that he'll be here Wednesday night. And let me remind you again, we're starting some new classes. We're going to be having Preacher's Academy for ministerial studies, and we're also going to be starting our young marriage class. A new name will be forthcoming, but for right now, that's who you are, and you know who you are. Amen. And you know, isn't it amazing? It's a challenge when you put two people together from two different backgrounds, and you can live on love for a little while, and then you got to have something else. And you know, some of you are laughing because you know I'm telling you the truth, and some of you about to cry because you know I'm telling you the truth. And here's the foundation right here. This is what makes the difference. Amen. So we're going to be learning biblical principles for family life. Amen. And just so that's a pretty good name. All right, but anyway, so we'll be looking forward to that. That will start on the second Tuesday of the month of February. So some good things to look forward to. All right. Going tonight to the second chapter of the book of Luke, the 18th verse. And this is going to be part two. I didn't get through this morning. So we'll try again tonight. If I don't get through with this, we'll start next Sunday morning, I guess. Amen. Second chapter of Luke, the 18th verse, and it said, "And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." Amen. It says, "And they that heard it wondered." And my thought for this evening is restoring the wonder. Restoring the wonder. Amen. Praise God. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. There is wonder. There is marvel. There is astonishment. There is amazement. Whenever we look at the life that Jesus Christ has ordained for us. The life of Jesus began with wonder. It started in a temple when a priest was trying to offer some incense to the Lord, and an angel appeared to him. And the angel said, "Fear not, John. Your wife is going to conceive and bear a son." And he knew his wife was old, and he knew it was impossible. But he didn't believe it at first. And so he questioned, and he said, "And you'll not say a word until he gets here." Oh, can you imagine having all of that wonder and excitement and not being able to tell a soul? It was all bottled up inside. He couldn't say a word about it. But 9 months later, when they got to talking about what to call the baby, and somebody said, "Let's call him Little Zach after his daddy." And his mouth opened up and the wonder poured out. And he said, "Call his name John, because that's what the angel said we're going to call him." Wonder. Amen. It was wonder when an angel appeared to a virgin at a well in a little town outside of a little city. And he began to talk to her. And he said, "Thou art highly favored of the Lord. You're chosen, Mary. And you're going to conceive and bear a son. And he's going to be the Son of God." Hallelujah. Amen. And she said, "I don't know how this is going to happen, seeing I know not a man." He said, "The things that are impossible with men are possible with God." That's how it's going to happen. And the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you. And there was wonder. Oh, there was some heartache involved because folks didn't understand what was going on. People didn't believe her story, and they wouldn't believe it today. Amen. There were some long wagging tongues that cut her to the core of her being. There were people that didn't understand. Even Joseph didn't really understand. It took an angelic visitation to convince him that what she was saying was so. But I'm saying that there was some wonder in his birth. Hallelujah. And as they made their way, that 70-mile trek on the back of a donkey, when she was just almost ready to deliver. You talk about an uncomfortable trip. She wasn't on a 747. And she wasn't riding in a comfortable automobile. But on the back of a beast. Here, there she came. Hey, any day now. But the scripture said he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Amen. And they had somehow to get Mary all the way from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. And so here they come on the way to Bethlehem. Amen. And long before that ever started, there were some wise men that started a journey from the east. And how God put it all together at just the right time. Amen. How a star could appear at just the right moment. Amen. How that shepherds that were abiding their flocks in the field by night, and suddenly the heavens lit up with the glory of angelic hosts, and there came voices and beautiful music, and the heavens declared the glory of God. An angel said, "For born to you this day in the city of David is a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Oh, there was wonder. There was wonder. Amen. And when those shepherds ran back to the city and knelt there in that little stable before that newborn baby, there was wonder. And when they began to tell their story, amen, there was wonder. People began to think, what about Mary's baby? What about this little boy? We've been wondering about him ever since we heard about it. We've been wondering ever since Cousin John was born. Amen. That was wonder. When he was 12 and it took him down to the temple, and there he stood for days, and he was teaching the doctors and the lawyers of the law. And they were astounded at the knowledge of this young boy. That was wonder. That was wonder. Amen. And whenever John looked up one day from his preaching and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world," and he took him down in the waters to baptize him, and a voice spake out of heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," and the Spirit of the Almighty God descended upon him, and they were surprised and astonished, and they wondered. Amen. What kind of a man is this? What kind of a ministry could this possibly be? And there was wonder. Amen. And when he began to preach, oh, there was wonder. That first time that he preached in his hometown, we talked a little bit about that this morning, but they handed him the scroll one day, and he opened it up, and he read from Isaiah, and it talked about the coming of Messiah. And he said, "This day is this verse fulfilled in your ears." Oh, and there was wonder. The Bible said they asked one another, "How can he talk like this? We know he didn't graduate from Jerusalem University. We know that he does not have a degree in theology. We know that he has not studied. He's just been over in the carpenter shop. He's still got sawdust under his fingernails. How can somebody like this teach like he's teaching?" The Bible said they were amazed because he did not speak like the scribes and the Pharisees, but he taught as one having authority. Amen. He taught a word that was practical and powerful and life-changing. And when he preached, they said, "Oh, never a man spake like this man." And there was wonder at his word. He was crossing a sea one night with his disciples, and suddenly a storm came up, and the ship began to be tossed on boisterous waves, and the wind was howling, and they were afraid for their very lives. lives, and they woke him up. Master, don't you care that we perish? And he got up and he just simply lifted his voice a little bit and he said, winds, be still. Waves, calm down. You're disturbing my nap. And they all just backed off. And they were astonished. They said, even the winds and the waves obey his voice. Amen. And there was wonder. Let me tell you something, they still do. Sister Joan Ewing wrote a beautiful song some time ago. It said, the storm does not decide how long it will stay. When the master says enough, it just goes away. Listen to me tonight. If you're in a storm and the winds are howling and you don't know how long you can take it, just understand the storm doesn't decide how long it's going to stay. The Lord decides when it's enough. And when he says no more, the storm will dissipate. The sun will shine. The blessing of God will come upon your life. Amen. He knows how to do it. He knows how to do it. Amen. A young couple in Houston, Texas, and he'd had severe heart problems and didn't have insurance, went through a lot of surgeries, a lot of expensive stuff, got a bill for $170,000 from the hospital, and he said, I don't know how we're going to pay this. I'm going to lose my business. I'm going to lose everything that I've got. I don't know what I'm going to do. And he was in a storm after another storm, and suddenly the telephone rang and somebody called him and said, you don't owe a penny. Oh my goodness. We're going to pay it all. And the storm went away and the shouting began. Hallelujah. And that was wonder. I'm telling you, you're still serving a God that's in the prayer answering business. You're still serving a God that has wonder and marvel in his works. Amen. Don't forget, you may be in the storm, but don't forget the master of the storm and the master of the wind and the master of the waves. Don't forget him. Amen. There's wonder. There's still wonder in his words. Oh, there's still wonder in his word, folks. Hallelujah. Have you ever been in a storm and you open up this book? God, I need to hear something from you today. I need to know. I just need a little bit of hope somehow. And suddenly the light came on and God gave you a precious promise from the written word of God. And that was something that got you through the storm. Amen. I'm telling you, the wonder's still there. The wonder has not gone. The Word's still with us. The Word of God still prevails and still abides. Don't lose faith, folks. Don't lose the wonder. It's still with you. Oh, hallelujah. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. Amen. It's still with us. You can still hear from heaven. You can still hear from God. You can still get an answer. Don't lose the wonder. Amen. He went down to the temple and the old Pharisees, they thought, now we got him. And they come in and they pulled out a coin and they said to him, now we have to pay tribute to Rome. And yet these coins we use have an image on them. And the law forbids an image. And so they said, what are we going to do? And they handed him a coin. They said, we got you now, bud. He took the coin and he said, whose picture's on there? Whose inscription? They said, Caesar's. He said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And unto God what is God's. And they shook their heads and they marveled. Amen. He can still confuse the masses, folks. His wisdom will still surpass all things. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? All right. Don't you forget the wonder. in the middle of your trial, in the middle of your trouble, in the middle of your storm, don't you forget the wonder. Don't you forget that He still has an answer. I said, don't you forget that He still has an answer. I don't know what the answer is. He does. Praise God. Amen. And the Sadducees came with their little old stuffy robes, and they thought, we'll get Him this time. And they said, you know, the law teaches that if a man dies and he is not raised up into children with his wife, that his brother should take that wife as a wife and raise up children to his name. And so they said there was a man that had a wife, and he died. And they didn't have any children. And so his brother took the wife, and he died. And then another brother, I wouldn't marry that woman. After about two or three of them, I'd get the message. She's bad luck. I would eat nothing she cooked, and I would never turn my back on her. Maybe I missed the whole point. but they told him, they said, and this went on for seven times. And of course, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. So they said, in the resurrection, whose wife is she going to be? And they thought they had Him. And Jesus said, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. Number one, He said, in heaven, there's not going to be marrying and giving in marriage. We're going to be as the angels of God. Amen. And then He said, you err because you don't know the power of God. You don't even believe in the resurrection. Amen. But He said, that didn't negate the fact that it's going to happen, folks. Amen. I know there's people who don't believe in it today, but it doesn't decide that there's still going to be a rapture of the church. There's still going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb. There's still going to be a white throne judgment. All of those things are still going to come to pass. It's not changed. Just because people don't believe it, don't lose the wonder. Amen. The wonder of His works. Amen. The Bible says that they brought to Him multitudes. Everybody say multitudes. Multitudes of people that were blind. And some of them were mute. And some of them were lame. And some of them were maimed. All kinds of problems. Blind eyes. Everything that you could imagine. And they brought them to Jesus. And the Bible says that He healed them. Everyone. Praise God. And the people marveled. And the people marveled. Is God still in the healing business today? Amen. Sister Given, is the Lord still in the healing business today? Amen. Brother Given went to the hospital. He wasn't even expected to live, about 10% chance. And guess what? He's getting out of there on the 7th. Praise God. Amen. And it was not given much of a chance. But you know, there's a little lady here that just kept on her knees and just kept hearing from God. And the Lord said it's going to be all right. And she just kept saying, well, 10% with doctors, 100% with God. I think I'll take the 100% with God. I think I'll just take the 100% with God. Amen. Sister Debbie Dorf called before the service tonight, and she wanted to thank you for your prayers. Amen. And she wanted you to know that she finished up her treatments, and she's doing real good, and she's being released. Amen. And there's not any signs of cancer in her body. And she just wanted to give the Lord thanks, and she wanted to give you thanks. And I just happen to believe God is still in the healing business. Praise God. I think He's still doing the work. Somebody said, but there's still some sick people. But there's still some healed people. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Just because not everybody's healed is not going to keep us praying for the sick. Amen. And guess what? If He don't heal this time, I'm going to ask Him again. And if He don't do it that time, I'm going to keep asking until He tells me not to. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't understand. I'm fresh out of omniscience as to why God does and what God doesn't. I don't know. He's God, and He does not tell me all things. Amen. But He gave me enough. He gave me enough in His Word, and I'm just going to keep on believing. Hallelujah. Amen. His works were wonderful. His works were wonderful, and they still are. Amen. His deliverance is wonderful. Praise God. Amen. They brought people to him. They brought the Bible talks about a man that was deaf and mute. And they brought the man to the Lord. And he fell down and he started sliming and slithering and carrying on. And they could tell he had a demon inside. And Jesus just commanded him to go. And he left. The man was healed. His mouth was open. He began to speak and praise God. And they marveled. Amen. A father brought a son to Jesus. Said, my boy, he's possessed of a spirit of suicide. He keeps trying to kill himself. I can't leave him alone for a moment because he tries to drown himself. He tries to burn himself. He tries to destroy himself. What am I going to do? I tried your disciples. They couldn't do anything. If you can do anything, would you please help him? And Jesus commanded the spirit. And it left the young man. And he was made whole. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, he's still in the delivering business today. Praise the Lord. I said he's still in the delivering business today. Amen. If you're bound, he can set you free. Amen. I said if you're bound, he can still set you free. And whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Don't forget the wonder. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. You know what we need around here? We need to see somebody set free. I think it's been too long. It's been too long since a drug addict has been brought in and his habit taken away. It's been too long since an alcoholic has been delivered. It's been too long since a nicotine addict has been delivered. It's been too long since some perversion has been taken away and God has healed and delivered. It's just been too long. We need to see the wonder, folks. Amen. Some of you are sitting there like you don't even believe it anymore. But I'm telling you tonight, don't you lose the wonder. Amen. Praise God. I think God still gives folks the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I think God still delivers. I think the Holy Ghost is still a spirit of righteousness. And you can live an overcoming life when he fills you with the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I think God can still give you the Holy Ghost and you'll want to be on church every time the door's open and you can't wait. Hallelujah. I think God can still fill people with the Holy Ghost and they get so excited that their whole life has changed and they change everybody around them. Amen. Praise God. Hey, we need to restore some wonder around here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Even his death was wonderful. There was beauty manifest against a backdrop of absolute brutality. And they're surrounded by the ugliness and the finality and the cruelty of crucifixion and death. Beauty was there like a rose climbing out of ruins. There was hope hanging on that tree. One man recognized it. And he said, Father, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And beauty turned and said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Beauty and mercy looked out over a crowd of twisted faces full of cruelty and hatred and bitterness, and looked at him while they cursed him and defiled him in every way that they possibly could, and laughed and jeered, and simply lifted up his voice and said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You talk about wonder. You talk about wonder. Innocence, purity, and perfection hanging on a tree. The hope of the world, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for sinners slain. Wonder. The earth shuddered when his blood dripped to the thirsty ground. The sun pulled a veil across its face as if it couldn't stand to see anymore. The heavens revolted with the sounds of thunder and bolts of lightning, and it seemed as if all of nature itself was in total rebellion against what man was doing to the Creator. But there was wonder at Calvary. There was so much wonder that finally an old hardened centurion looked up at the cross and said, "Surely this was the Son of God." There was wonder. Even at his death, there was wonder. There was wonder at his resurrection. Woo! Hallelujah! When Mary ran down to the tomb and the women went to the tomb talking about how in the world are we going to roll away the stone. It's amazing what we get concerned about, isn't it? We worry about things we didn't have to worry about. And we still do it today. Amen. We're still worried about rolling away stones when it ain't even there. He's already done it. Hallelujah. But on the way, well, how are we going to get the stone rolled away? And when they came, it was already rolled away. And he was already resurrected. And he wasn't even there. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the angel said, "Why seek you the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. He's alive. And he's alive forevermore." Woo! And you know what? It was true. Amen. It was true. Praise God. That tomb's still empty, Brother Davis, isn't it?
That's right.
Amen. I know it was about 1983 or 4 when I was there. It was still empty. Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And he's still alive. How do I know? Because he lives in my heart. That's how I know. Praise God. Amen. I was buried with him in waters of baptism. And I felt that old cold water wash over me. Amen. And when I came up out of that water, my sins could not follow me. They had to stay because they were buried and washed and cleansed and remitted by the name of Jesus Christ. And I rose to walk in a brand new life today. Hey, and this is living, folks. This is living.
Yes, sir.
There's a lot of folks just existing. But this is living.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, "Oh, I feel so sorry for you people because you're in bondage." I don't feel any bondage today.
No way.
If I could be so bold as to say it tonight, I drink all of the liquor I want to drink because I didn't want any. Amen. Take all the drugs I want to take because I just don't want any. Hallelujah. Praise God. He just took away those things. That's what liberty is. Liberty is the ability to say no. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. There was a time I couldn't say no. There was a time I felt the pressure to give in. Amen. But you know what? When the Holy Ghost came in, it gave me the power to say no. Cost me some things. Amen. But it was still good. Praise God. I was riding one night with some young men that were my friends, and they decided they were going to go somewhere that I couldn't go. Amen. I didn't make a big scene. I just said, "Well, you'll just have to drop me somewhere, let me out, because I can't go there." Amen. It's all right. Didn't want to go there. I didn't want to go there. God had already delivered me from that. God had already taken that away from me. I didn't want to go anymore. That's what liberty is. Hear me, young people. Liberty is whenever they pass the joint and you say, "No, thank you, I don't need that." They talk about how great getting drunk is, and you just say, "No, thank you, I just don't need that." Amen. Talk about, this cigarette's so cool. And you just say, "No, thank you. I don't need that."
Right.
Amen. Praise God. And you actually have a vocabulary to know how to express yourself without a bunch of profanity and a bunch of licentious words. And you learn how to just have a calm speech and be able to talk and express yourself. Amen. With clean language. Hey, that's liberty. That's liberty. Praise God. It's liberty. Whenever you choose to live for God and you choose to have a clean life and you choose to have a clean heart. That's liberty. Amen. You don't have to give in to anybody. Amen. Praise God. And people pushing and trying to make you do things that you don't want to do. And you have the strength and you have the guts and you have the power of the Holy Ghost. Just stand up and just say no. Amen. And no matter what they say, you know, the Holy Ghost just gives you power to resist and say, no, I don't need that. Thank you. Amen. I like my life just like it is. I have peace that passes understanding. I have an unspeakable joy. Why would I trade this for anything in this world? My life is full of the wonders of God. Why would I trade this for the bondage of the world? Amen. Thank God. There's still some wonder, folks. Let's not lose it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me talk just a moment and I'm closing here tonight. I want to talk about the wonder of the church. I'm going to tell you something. This church is still wonderful. Amen. Praise God. I believe it is. I believe it's still wonderful. Amen. And on the day of Pentecost, they were in one place with one accord. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all of the house wherein they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. 120 people for the very first time started talking in tongues and praising God, and the Holy Ghost was manifest. That was in an upper room. They spilled out of that place. The Bible says somehow the next time we find them in Solomon's porch, which was the great meeting place down at the temple. And they were still down there and they were still lost in the Holy Ghost and they were still talking in tongues and they were still praising God. And the Bible said when the people saw them, it says they were amazed and they marveled. And listen, they said, how do we hear them? They said, these are Galileans. Do you know how they were Galileans? Because they had an accent. They spoke like Galileans. Amen. They were not exactly a Jerusalem elite. They sounded like they were from Galilee. When they weren't talking in tongues, they sounded like Galileans. But you know what? It's all right to talk like a Galilean. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. Wouldn't it be awful if everybody spoke exactly the same way? Wouldn't that be boring? Amen. Praise God. Somebody said, you speak English? No, I speak Texan. That's a slight improvement on the English language. Amen. Praise God. So that's all right. It's okay to speak like a Galilean. They spake as Galileans. Whenever they weren't talking in tongues. But they said, how are they speaking all these languages? Because they heard them speaking a whole bunch of foreign tongues. And they said, how can they do this? Because the Holy Ghost let them do that. And they heard them. What were they doing? They were magnifying God in a language they didn't even know. And you know what? It still happens today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. In Colombia, Cherie was praying with a little girl. She was away. I mean, we were way back in the sticks. And she was praying with this little girl. And all of a sudden, in the most perfect English, she started speaking in tongues. And I'm promising she didn't learn it in school either. Not where she came from. And she was saying phrases that, first of all, a six-year-old wouldn't even know. I exalt the Almighty God. Your spirit flows like a beautiful fountain of refreshing and is welcome to my soul. And saying things like that. Hallelujah. You talk about wonder. You talk about wonder. Hallelujah. You talk about wonder. Praise God. It still works, folks. It still works. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. There was a bus full of preachers. And they were on tour in Israel, and the guide of the tour, he kept saying, "You think this is something?" He said, "Just wait till you see Jerusalem. You think every time they'd see something, and they'd be talking about it, but wait till you see Jerusalem." And whenever they come over a rise, and Jerusalem came into view, the bus pulled over and stopped, and they could see Jerusalem, and people started getting off. And all of a sudden, one of those preachers raised his voice like a trumpet, and he began to speak in another tongue. And that tour guide's face turned ashen white, and he got quiet as he could possibly be. And he caught somebody aside, and he said, "I didn't know anybody in your tour group spoke Hebrew." And somebody said, "That brother's from Tennessee. He doesn't even speak English very well. He certainly doesn't know Hebrew." And the guy said, "Oh no, he just spoke the most beautiful things in the Hebrew language that I've ever heard." God had a personal message for somebody, and there was some marvel and there was some wonder there. I'm saying to you folks, this didn't die with the apostles. This didn't stop in the early church. This is still happening in 2008, and it needs to intensify, and the church needs to restore the wonder to the church. We don't need to lose the wonder tonight, folks. We don't need to lose the wonder. Amen. They brought in those two preachers, and they grilled them, and they threatened them. And they remember, the people that were threatening John and Peter was the same Sanhedrin court that had crucified Jesus Christ less than 2 months before this. And less than 2 months before this, Peter couldn't even stand the scrutiny of a little girl that accused him of being a Christian. And now they're standing before the same court that had crucified Jesus Christ, and they are demanding that they not preach in the name of Jesus anymore, and that they quit talking about him. And the Bible says that John and Peter answered them with boldness. They were not intimidated and they were not ashamed. They answered them with boldness. You know what I'm praying for in 2008 for the church? I'm praying that God will rebaptize us with boldness. Amen. That we'll not be intimidated and we'll not be ashamed, but that we'll stand up and shine like the light that God called us to be and become the bold witnesses that this city and this world needs. Amen. They were bold. And the Bible says, and when they perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned, they marveled. Now they were not ignorant nor unlearned. But there are some people that if you don't know what they know, and you don't talk like they talk, and you don't have what they have, then they put you in a different category. You're just ignorant and unlearned. Amen. But I want you to know one thing. They were neither ignorant nor unlearned. They had walked with a master teacher for 3 years. They had sat at the feet of the God of the universe as he taught them the principles of life. You can't be exposed to Jesus in that kind of teaching day after day for over 3 years and it not change your life. Amen. Amen. There they stood. Yes, they were not university educated. And I'm not against education. Please don't get me wrong. I think it's a good thing. I'm not against people getting an education. I'm not against universities by and large. Amen. And I said it the other night. I think you should get a good education and then get over it. Amen. And go on with life. Praise God. But don't let it make you stuck up and arrogant. If it does, then something's wrong. Amen. Your calling is not to look down on others, but to help lift others up. It's to teach others. That's our calling in life, isn't it? We're supposed to help one another. But they said they're ignorant, they're unlearned. But the Bible says, and I love the way it says this, but they perceived that they had been with Jesus. Hallelujah. Now again, I love learning, and I'm an ongoing student. I read constantly. Every time I'm sitting down, I'm nervous if I'm not reading something. Amen. My poor wife, you know, has a hard time carrying a conversation because I want to sitting down and want to read something. Amen. I have to sit and learn to set things down and listen and communicate every now and then because I like to learn. I have a desire to know. And that's okay. Amen. The Bible said, study to show yourself approved. Amen. A workman. That's fully furnished. Amen. And we don't want to bring any shame by the name of Jesus Christ. And rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's important tonight. So I'm not against knowledge. I'm not against education. I think it's a wonderful thing. But let me tell you something. There are things that you can learn at the feet of Jesus Christ that you can't get anywhere else in this world. There are things, folks, that you can get right here. And this is why I want people to come to this altar. Amen. Because you can get things right here that you can't get anywhere else in this world. There are things that can come into your soul. There are things that can get into your spirit. There are voices of God. The Lord can speak to your spirit. And He can speak to your mind at this altar. Amen. He can give you wisdom that is above anything that this world knows. He can give you a word of knowledge at this altar. He can give you a word of wisdom at this altar. God can give you the things that you need at this altar. That's why it's important tonight that we spend some time at the feet of Jesus. This is how you restore the wonder. You can't spend time at the feet of Jesus and not have wonder. You can't come, and we use an old Pentecostal phrase, pray through. One thing to pray, and it's another thing to pray through. Anybody know what I'm talking about when I say pray through? What do we mean when we say pray through? Exactly that. You come in and you're tired. You pray through being tired. You come through and the devil says you got other things to do. You pray through other things to do. You come in and after a while you've said everything you know to say. So you just keep praying even though you don't know what to say. That's called praying through. Well, you're getting tired. Your body's aching. But you just keep praying through. And somehow you break through into the Spirit. And you begin to get into the Holy Ghost. And you begin to talk to God. It may be in English. It may be in an unknown tongue. It may be with groanings and moanings and utterings that only the Holy Ghost understands. But I'm saying that's how you restore the wonder. You don't come out of that kind of prayer meeting without the wonder. Oh, I'm so glad He saved me. Amen. I'm a child of the King. Amen. You come out of that kind of a prayer meeting with the wonder of the Holy Ghost. Folks, we need to restore the wonder. Anybody here tonight needs to restore some wonder in your life? You know, it's easy to know that we're saved and just go through the motions because we know what to do. We live for God long enough that it's easy to coast. It's easy to just, you know, we know how to live and we know the things to do and we know the things not to do. And we know all of the Pentecostal jargon and we know the courses and we know the songs and it's possible to know all of that and still not have the wonder. Don't lose the wonder of it, folks. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying tonight, but it's easy to worship God from here and not from here. And that little 12-inch journey makes all the difference. It's easy to know the Bible here, but not have it here. It's easy to know what to say here, but not have it here. You've got to get it. This is where the wonder comes right here. When the Holy Ghost illuminates your soul. Amen. Praise God, and you spend time with Him. May you spend time in His presence. And when you come out, you're like Peter and John. They may not know anything else about you, but one thing they can say, I think they've been with Jesus. Hallelujah. If you've been with Jesus, it'll show. The Bible says they were called Christians first at Antioch. And it wasn't religious people that called them that. They called them Christians because they reminded them of Jesus Christ. They talk like Him. They pray like Him. They act like Him. They live like Him. I thought we got rid of Him. But these people, these Christians, are still here. And you know what? There's more of us today than there's ever been. We're not going away. Our tribe is increasing every day. God is still adding to the church daily, such as should be saved. Would you stand with me tonight? Oh, don't lose the wonder here tonight. Don't lose the wonder tonight. Praise God. God, help me not to lose the wonder. That's what I don't want to happen. Hallelujah. When Moses came down from Sinai, having spent 40 days in the presence of God, the Bible said that his face shone with a brilliance. It was obvious that he had been with the Lord. And so he began to wear a covering on his face. Now, I'm not sure if he wore a covering so that people would know he'd been with God, or he didn't want people to know when the glory was gone. I'm not real sure why. Amen. But I know one thing. I know when I've been with Jesus, and I know when it's been a little while since I've really been with Jesus. You hear what I'm saying? Anybody can agree with me tonight? You know when you've been with Jesus, and you know when it's been a little while since you've really been with Jesus. Amen. I'd like to welcome you tonight to rediscover and recover and restore the wonder. Amen. I believe Jesus is in this house tonight. I believe somebody can come down to this altar, whether you've never had the Holy Ghost or whether you've had the Holy Ghost for 50 years. I believe somebody tonight could recover and restore the wonder. Amen. I believe there's some folks here tonight that you need to just restore the wonder. Just spend some time with Him. Amen. Your schedule's been pushing you. It's time for you to push back. Your schedule's been dictating to you. It's time for you just to forget your schedule. It's time to listen to your soul tonight. There's a voice that's calling you. Amen. It's some come. I want to restore the wonder to your life. I want to restore the wonder to your life. Amen. Anybody can hear that tonight? The altar's open. Praise God. The altar's open. Oh, yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, to discover the wonder. To restore the wonder. Hallelujah. I want to know you, Jesus. Paul had served God for so many years, and yet it was still there. Oh, that I might know him in the power of his might, in the power of his resurrection, in the likeness of his sufferings, the fellowship of his sufferings, and the likeness of his death. I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to know him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Come on. Amen. Come on, folks. Let's restore the wonder tonight. Jesus, I don't want to leave here tonight with a cold experience. I don't want to leave here tonight with anything less than a flame. Amen. Rekindled on the altar of my soul. Amen. Restore the wonder. Restore the wonder. Restore the wonder.